I think you'd be willing to stand to your feet and offer that hand clap of praise to God one more time for His faithfulness to us. And as a reminder, our children and volunteers are heading to their special class. Who wants to hear an old guy, right? And they can go have their own class. In the course of living your life, through the process of time and experiences, after a while, you start figuring out on whom you can depend, don't you? On whom you can put trust in terms of our human relationships. But I'm glad that in our relationship with God, it doesn't take very long at all to figure out He can be depended on. He can be trusted, as this song has indicated, through all the activities of life. He is one that always shows up, and of all His characteristics, I think you would agree, His faithfulness is one we ought to really value. God's always there, always present, and how blessed we are to have Him on our side. Amen? I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, in just a moment, but while I'm getting ready to do that, I will say it's a delight to be at Cross Church. For some reason, I was wanting to put Cross Point in there. I don't know why. Maybe I'm giving you a new name. But Cross Church, and this is our first time, my wife Melody and I, to be here, but we are not strangers, I'll say it that way. To your congregation, because over the last 5 years, we've kept up with you. We're on the other side of the state of Missouri, but we've kept up through newsletters and conversations and other reports from people who have visited here, and it's just a delight to see what God has done, and my wife and I have been honored to be partnering with you, sending a little bit of our finances over the last 5 years, and we just are delighted to see what God has done, and I know you're grateful and appreciate it even more than I can, but very much thank God for what's being done here. And then, of course, the Blackburn family have been so kind. He gave you a little bit of our background and history and lots of great memories and times in ministry together and doing various things at the church, district-wise, whatnot. And so it's just a real joy to be with them and have some fellowship last night and a bit today. But most of all, to be with you in God's presence. What a delight it is. And let me read from John's Gospel while you're standing, the 19th chapter and verses 16 through 22. And I feel like a young person. I'm reading this from my phone instead of my Bible. So I'm getting with it. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Of course, in this passage of Scripture, we're seeing part of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ as he was taken to the cross. And as it noted there, Pilate had a sign put above the cross that said, Jesus, King of the Jews. And it was in the three major languages of the day, so anybody passing by could read that. The religious leaders, the Jews who were actually responsible for crucifying him, were very upset. And they asked Pilate to change it to say that he claims to be King of the Jews. Not that he really is, but he just says he is. But Pilate's response, as I read there, was, what I've written, I have written. And even though Pilate had the capability of changing the title, he could have taken it down and granted their request, but he chose to leave it as it was written, and in so doing, what he was implying was, what's done is done, and there's no going back, it's not going to be changed. And as we stand here, someone remarked, this is your first Sunday of the new year to be together in church. As we stand here and look back on 2024, I think we all recognize the obvious thing, it's over, it's done. And there's nothing we can do about it. I know at least a couple of people that are thanking God the year of 2024 is over because it brought a lot of hardship and they were upset about a few things. And so they were glad to see it go bye-bye. But I'm sure all of us had high points, low points, good news, bad news throughout the course of the year. But whatever it held, it's done. It's over. It's finished. And that's what I want to bring to you in terms of a message today is simply this. What's done is done. What's done is done. And let's ask the Lord to meet with us through His Word today. Jesus, thank You so much for this wonderful group of people that have made the choice to be in your house today. We know you love each of us and you are watching over. Your word, which is already anointed, has something special for each of us. It doesn't return void, you've told us, and it will have its intended effect as we open our hearts with faith to it. Let that be the case now for each of us. Move and minister according to your will, I ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. However 2024 unfolded, whatever you did or did not do, of course, it's finished. You can't go back and relive it. You can't rewrite any of the history of it. I guess it would be nice, in some respects, if we could go back. This is just me guessing, but I would think that probably some of us would do a few things differently than we did last year if we had the choice, different decision, different action. But we can't. We don't have the luxury of being able to change the past. Now, we can make amends for things that went on in the past. We can make restitution if needed, decide to do better. We can set a goal of being a different person for the future and even determine to do things differently than we have in the past. But we can't go back in time, can we? We can't go back and do things over. But thankfully today, there is a past event that affects present circumstances. We may not be able to change yesterday, but hear me today, we can be changed today. We can be changed today. Thanks to Jesus Christ, it's possible to be a brand new person. Thanks to Jesus Christ. Our focus this past month in December has been, of course, on Christ's birth in Bethlehem. And now all the decorations for Christmas are put away. At least I think they are. I won't ask if anybody still has them out. But they're probably put away or getting ready to be. Artificial trees are stored. Real trees are discarded. Outside lights are down or at least turned off. In my case, they're still up, but we're not turning them on. The gifts that you received are either exchanged, placed on a shelf, or hopefully put to use, right? But the ultimate purpose of Christ's birth at Bethlehem lives on. It lives on. The Bible teaches us that the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes that we celebrated so much last month increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Then at age 30, Jesus began his ministry. And he plainly stated his mission, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming. And over the last several weeks, I'm guessing most of us have heard that verse of Scripture in Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." But I'm glad that that angel's proclamation of long ago is still lingering in the air, even though it's January 12, 2025, because if you will accept that statement as more than just a familiar line at Christmas, you can find Jesus Christ to be your Savior. "For unto you is born this day," the angel said, "a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul wrote this: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And if you believe that, if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can be saved. You can become a brand new person regardless of the past. It was on the cross of crucifixion that Jesus paid the penalty of sin. Not for his sins, but for our sins. Jesus Christ first appeared in Bethlehem so that he could later appear at Calvary to, quote, "put away the sin by the sacrifice of himself," unquote. In the Old Testament, they had animal sacrifices that God set up. He instituted that to atone for sin temporarily. But Hebrews tells us that that could not take away sin. It took an innocent man by the name of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And by the sacrifice of himself, we have redemption by the blood of Jesus, even the forgiveness of sins. Well, somebody ought to rejoice just for a moment in that truth that we have the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians, the letter that Paul wrote to that church, describes everyone as having no hope and without God in the world. Kind of a bleak statement, but he doesn't stop there. He says, "But now in Christ Jesus, we who were afar off, we who were without hope, we are made nigh, or to put it in other words, because of him, we can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that he offered on Calvary, the blood that he shed, will cleanse us from all sin. And I want you to listen carefully to these next few words and mark them. Get them in your mind. Get them in your heart. Hear this. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Let that sink in today. Not some sin, but all sin. You name the category, and I guess really there is no category. Sin is sin, but we as humans, we kind of categorize, don't we? You know, that's a big sin, that's a little sin. But now, you name the category of sin, the blood of Jesus covers it. You name the type of sin, the blood of Jesus can cleanse it today. So please recognize that all sin is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That ought to give somebody hope today. The recognition that no matter what you've done in the past, it can be covered by the blood of Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote this, that if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Because of Jesus Christ, today, this year that's ahead, as God tarries his coming, you can make a fresh start. You can be transformed. And it's more than just adopting New Year's resolutions. I won't ask for a show of hands if you've taken on any of those. It's more than that, though. It's more than just breaking a few bad habits, what I'm talking about today, when you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Because through faith in the sacrificial blood of Jesus and through water baptism in Jesus' name that we're going to witness here in a little bit, you can find forgiveness of sin. And through the infilling of his Spirit, you can be transformed. Now, catch that. Not reformed, but transformed. And there's a difference. Let me tell you about that. Metamorphosis, that's a big old word. It's a term that is used or applied to marked changes in the form in the life history of an animal. So it's like this to start, but then through metamorphosis, it becomes a different form as animals. And in ancient mythology, which we've read, metamorphosis was the transformation of human beings into beasts, stones, trees, fire, water, or the like. That was just mythology. But let me here say it today that an encounter with Jesus Christ is not an ancient myth. It's a reality of becoming a new creation in Jesus Christ. Hear this. We're set free from sin's dominion. That's a transformation, not just reformation, not just turning over a new leaf, as we say sometimes, but that's transformation. That's change. That's metamorphosis. You were once this way, but now because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you're a brand new person. Ha ha. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Under a new covenant, God's righteous law is put in our hearts. This is right out of the pages of the Bible. I'm not giving you a chapter and verse, but I've got them if you need them later. God's righteous law was put in our hearts and minds through the infilling of the Spirit. That's why it's vital. If you've not received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you need it. I can promise you, you'll want it too. You may just not realize it yet, but you need it. It's the joy. It's what God uses to write in our hearts and minds his laws. And Jesus can deliver you from the power of darkness. Through his power, he can translate you into his kingdom and redeem you by his blood. And that's the gospel. That's the good news, that Jesus can redeem you. And today, hear this. If you've already experienced a new birth, that initial experience, you know what I'm talking about today. You've repented and you've been baptized in his name and you've been filled with his Spirit. Let me tell you that if you have made some choices this past year that has taken you farther from God instead of closer to him or gotten on a wayward path, I want you to know Jesus can reclaim you. It's not too late. Things aren't over in terms of his salvation. Faith and repentance, I'm so glad for this, faith and repentance have a long shelf life. You can go there again and again and again, and if you'll use your faith, and if you'll offer repentance, if you'll turn to God no matter how many times, you can find yourself forgiven. You can find yourself restored because of your faith that you offer afresh and anew and your repentance again, even though it might have been many times that you've done it. I'm so glad that he knows how to reclaim us and renew us and restore us all through faith and repentance that we put in him. So my message today, I know it's quite simple and it's really old, but I'm not ashamed to preach it today. Through the grace and power of God, you can be changed. Things can be different in the year of 2025 for you because of the grace and power of God. Spiritually, particularly, in your relationship with God, you can have a new outlook, change behavior. You can alter the course that you're taking now in life. So let me paraphrase Pilate's inscription on the cross that day. What's done is done. Forget the past. And I know that's kind of making it sound ever so simple, but that's the way it is. What's past is past. It's over, it's done with, and the answer is that we go forward. In the book of Joshua, in the Old Testament, we find in the opening of chapter 3 that they had a new leader named Joshua. The book is named after him. And Moses, who had led them out of Egypt, if you're familiar with Israel's history, they were in bondage as a people for about 400 years. God sent Moses. He had them delivered from Egypt. And they got to the Red Sea, and they couldn't cross it because of it being so deep. And Pharaoh had changed his mind and was after the Israelites to bring them back as slaves so that they had no place to go. And now the new leader rose up here in Joshua 3. After all that had happened, they miraculously crossed the Red Sea, got into the wilderness, and Moses wasn't allowed to take them into the Promised Land. And so Joshua was appointed as the new leader, and he was commissioned to take them into the Promised Land. They stood now before the Jordan River after miraculously crossing that Red Sea on dry ground. And the scripture says, and Joshua rose early in the morning and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there. And it came to pass after 3 days of being camped there that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. So they went through the congregation and said, hey, when the Ark of the Covenant gets on its way and heads into the Jordan River, then that's time for you to get up and move. And that term, remove from your place, I studied it a little bit. It was written, of course, in Hebrew back then. It means the idea of pulling up tent stakes. So when it was time to go, you were pulling up the tent stakes. You were folding up the tent and let's get out of here. We're not going to stay in this place anymore. And from your place obviously just means from where you are right now. Remove from your place. But figuratively, it could also mean a condition of your mind, your spirit, the way you think, the way you feel. They were being told it's time to get up. Literally, Israel was to move to one place to another. But figuratively, they were being asked to change the way you think. You're no longer a wilderness people. All those years of wandering in the wilderness, that's no longer you, but you're people of promise. And you're going to see exploits. Jericho is going to fall. Kings of the land will be conquered. New territory will be divided and occupied. The tabernacle will be set up. All those things were being asked of the Israelites. Remove from your place. And today's message from this ancient text is just as fresh. Remove from whatever condition or whatever circumstance that is hindering your spirituality. It may not be anything literally that you have to do, but in your thinking, remove from whatever circumstance, whatever condition that is hindering your relationship with God and turn to Him. Remove from whatever thinking is defeating you. Remove from whatever is holding you back to knowing God better. Remove from whatever is keeping you from spiritual victory. And you know in your heart and mind, things might be coming to you right now, being quickened by the Spirit. Those are the things you got to, like the Israelites, they were literally folding up tents. But in your mind, in your spirit, you got to say, okay, 2024 is over. It's time to pack up. It's time to get all my stuff together. I've got to go on from this place. Remove from this place. We all are at different stages of life. Just a little glance around the room tells me that. Our ages. And we have different experience with God. And new birth is the priority. If you've not been born of the water and the Spirit, that's where you start. That's the starting point in your journey with God. But some may feel or recognize today a need for change. You've already experienced a new birth, but there's just something tugging at you. Well, if you're going to change, you got to remove from your place. Remove from where you're at. And that might be physically. I'm guessing for the most of us, it's not. And if that's something you're feeling, you need to very carefully pray and fast and talk to your pastor and study things out, your family if affected and all. But I'm thinking more likely it's removing from your place emotionally, removing from your place of faulty judgments or false preconceptions or ungodly thoughts. From wherever you are now, all I'm preaching is you can take a step forward. From wherever you are now, you can take a step forward. Don't be imprisoned by your past. It's over. And again, I know that that's kind of an oversimplification, and we can have baggage and things that have to be dealt with, and sometimes restitution is needed. But I'm just preaching straightforward today. Don't be imprisoned by your past. Don't be locked into your history. Don't let it haunt you. Don't let it haunt you. I know there are things we're ashamed of, but don't let it haunt you. Don't let your track record jeer at you with accusations and a pointed finger and saying, well, I remember what happened then. No, that's all in the past. What's done is done. It can't be changed. We've got to look to the future in Jesus Christ today. Amen. Hear this. There is nothing to be gained by standing still, but there's everything to gain by going on. Think of that. Nothing to be gained by standing still, but everything to gain by going on. So don't remain where you are. Remove from your place. Whatever has gone wrong in 2024, maybe at work, maybe with your family, maybe with school or whatever else might have happened in your course of your life, whatever went wrong in 2024, you ready for this? Get over it. And those of you that know me well know I'm not really a blunt person, but it kind of felt good to say that, you know, approaching to myself. But again, I know that there can be long-standing trauma and things, and I'm not trying to be lighthearted about issues that really need a lot of attention and to be dealt with. But when you get right down to it, that's what you got to do. Get over it. What's done is done. You've made a mistake. I'm not trying to be flippant today, but forget it. Go on. If you've tried and failed, guess what? Try again. I hope this isn't too simple. Whatever didn't go your way, get beyond it. Go on. Things aren't perfect. Yeah, that's true for all of us, but get past it. Remove from your place past hurts, past disappointments, past mistakes that we might have made. What's done is done. And in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we've got to accept God's forgiveness. In Jesus' name, we've got to accept His forgiveness and go on. Change, repent, be different, do what you have to do, but trust in Jesus Christ. Every one of us, I know I can speak for us all on this point, every one of us has things in the past of which we're not proud. We've all made mistakes, right? But through our repentance and the atoning blood of Christ, we can live a new life from this day forward. From this day forward, we can live a new life. I know it's kind of a cutesy saying, but it's true. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. What's done is done. What we have really is from this day forward. And we're not even promised tomorrow. But regardless of the past, you can choose today to live for God. You can decide to dedicate yourself to Him. You can put the past behind you and walk in the Spirit. I love the way the Apostle Paul summed up what I'm preaching today in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. He said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling or the call heavenward of God in Christ Jesus." Today there's a pull from above. There's a call from heaven, an upward call. And Paul said, for me to attain that, I've got to just forget about all the past. And let me throw this in, not just past mistakes, but even past victories. We don't want to rest on our success of the past, do we? We want to go forward. So he said, forgetting all that of the past, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm going to press. I'm going to try. I'm going to exert. I'm going to put forth effort. I'm going to go forward. So you can forget all those things which are behind you today and reach forth to what is ahead. Reach forth to what is ahead. Things can be different from this day forward. And in closing this message, let me say this, and this is an obvious statement, but nobody can go back and have a different beginning. What's done is done, and we can't go back. But listen to this. Everyone can start now from this day forward and have a different ending. By choices you make and things that you do and don't do, by altering your course from this day forward, you can reach a different destination. Amen. Because of Jesus Christ. It is possible. I invite you to stand with me. And in doing that, if you could look up here, we could consider 2024 to be this piece of paper. You can't see what it says, but there's some stuff typed on it. And maybe that could represent your year. I guess it wasn't very exciting. What exciting looking at it like that, is it? But I know differently. But there, just think of that as the past year. Well, this really kind of tells you the story, doesn't it? Crumpled up, no longer useful. That's the year. And I'm not saying we don't have any good things out of the last year, but you get the idea. It's crumpled, it's used up. You can't do anything with that. Even if you unfold it, it's now wrinkly and not going to look good, and not much you can do with that. But that's our past. And I wonder, as you stand there just all across this sanctuary, if we might just take a few moments and just offer the past to Jesus Christ. His atoning blood, any mistakes you made, any regrets, His blood will cover that. If you'll just offer a prayer of repentance, if you'll just offer His help, why don't you do that? Let's all across this sanctuary, Lord, we thank You so much for Your atoning blood. And we're not trying to be lighthearted today and just say that the past doesn't affect us. It does, but we know there's a greater power in You. There's a greater power in You, Lord. And we're asking that You would please cover us. Please wash us. Please help us, Lord, to leave the past in the past. Because what's done is done. And we can't change it, but we can put it under Your blood and go forward. And I pray, Lord, that You would listen to all the heart cries now. All the prayers being uttered across this sanctuary. Meet us where we are. Help us this day. We can't go back, and we really can't even go into the future. All we have is right now, Lord. Meet us here. Meet us here. Let Your power, let Your presence help us today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, as we give our past to You, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. In 2025, if I could continue the illustration, could be just like this, a blank page. We don't know what all is in store for us, what's ahead, but with a blank page, if we'll let God guide us, let Him do the writing, as it were, on our lives, then we can say what He has written. He has written in our lives. Moses advised when he was at the Red Sea that I preached about earlier, they couldn't go anywhere for safety. He said, stand still. To the people. And that's some pretty good advice. I think there are times that's really what we should do. But when it comes to change, sometimes we want to stand still because that's safe, because that is what won't challenge or confront us. But God, when He spoke to Moses, He said, tell My people to go forward. And I think that's the call for us today. Go forward. And you've got that choice, stand still or go forward. And I'm going to invite you, if you would, literally just to come forward around the front of this church and spend some time in prayer. We've prayed about the past. Why don't you pray a little bit about what's ahead of you in Jesus Christ? Let His blood cover. Let His blood cleanse. If you've not received His Spirit, that power is waiting for you today to change you and make you a new creation. He's here. And I invite everyone that's willing to get as close as you can today and spend time in His presence. Spend time talking to Him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for Your glory. We pray for Your glory, Jesus. That's it, all across the front. Wherever you are, spend time praying. Spend time talking.